Lord, I thank you for our forefathers. I thank you for the men and the women that went before us, Lord, that, Father, fought battles, won wars, laid down their lives, stood their ground, trusted you, believed you, even when it cost them their lives, Lord. That, Father, they believed something so holy, so completely, Lord, that they were willing to do whatever it took to have their religious freedom, to be able to come to you and worship you and to adore you the way you love to be adored, Lord. So, Father, as we stir up our memories, Lord, and we think about our history and how we have come to celebrate this 4th of July, Lord, Father, I ask that you be glorified in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is Eugene here?
No.
Somebody want to do Eugene's job for him? Matt, that sounds terrible. Whatever you did sounds absolutely horrible. Please fix it. So would somebody be so willing as to turn this cross on? Where's the switch? It's outside that door. On the left, turn left again, and it'll say main cross. Yeah, oh, that sounds weird, doesn't it? It's got that whiny thing in it. Well, that's better. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Oliver comes to the rescue. Hallelujah. Okay, we can start again. Amen. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here. You know, this is my favorite month of the year. Not because of 4th of July, because it's my birthday this month. How many of you guys got summer birthdays? Look at all of us that had summer birthdays. There were some cold winters, weren't there? Praise the Lord. There were some cold winters. Amen. So I just want to remind us about the 4th of July and why we celebrate it. And then I want to go ahead and just relate it to Jesus, if you don't mind. So let's think about this. Now, I'm not a history buff. Some of you are. So when I make mistakes and slaughter our history, you just go, smile, say, we love them anyway. We love them anyway. Amen? Because I wasn't actually there, so I only remember parts and glimpses. But when I was raised in school, they taught us American history. And we had to learn some things. We had to learn about the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, and all those kinds of things that I'm not quite sure they teach that stuff in school anymore. It is quite possible that they don't. But I'm really glad that they did. I was taught standing up saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Did you guys all do that too? I'll tell you, we don't do it very much, but when we do it, I got to tell you, I have such a good feeling inside of me when I pledge allegiance to that flag, because it means something to me. It really means something. This country is free because the people that went before us and made it free. Do you know, it's just like in the Bible when it says in the end of chapter 8 of Romans, where it says, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Do you know what? We get to enjoy liberty because somebody else fought the war. Somebody else fought that battle, and you and I get to enjoy our religious freedom, be able to peaceably enjoy our land, and to become prosperous because they fought and they broke free of the tyranny. So let's think about this a little bit. Back in Great Britain, they were suffering from a king that was oppressing his people. He was taxing them way too hard. He was going around Parliament, their legislature, and not allowing them to really represent the people. He was having secret meetings and changing laws. The people would write laws, and he would not obey them or make himself accountable to them. And they started coming under the tyranny of a dictatorship because the many that should have ruled from the voice of the people, in other words, the people's voice, they had representatives that spoke what they wanted, came together and presented it and made laws for everybody. He was not adhering to it. And he would make these meetings in so obscure places that these men couldn't even get to it or making it so financially hard on them, they couldn't stand their ground. They couldn't stand against it. And it got to be so oppressive, they had to make a change. Now, there were some people, and they were called the Puritans. Have you guys heard of them? And these Puritans wanted to worship God in their own way. How many are thankful that desire was birthed in their heart? I am so thankful God birthed that in their heart that they were going to find religious freedom. They were going to worship God the way they believed they could freely worship God. And so they left England, not easily. It was really difficult on them to get out of that country, but they did do it. And they colonized here in the Americas. You guys know that part. Well, just because they left doesn't mean they were free. Does that make sense? Do you guys remember in the Old Testament when Moses and God delivered the people out of Egypt and he cut them off from Egypt and they were in the wilderness? Do you know they may have been freed into a new location, but they were still under the pressures of the old society. They still craved the same kind of foods, the same kind of routines, and the same kind of life. In fact, they cried out to God and said, "What did you do? Bring us out here that we would die in the wilderness? At least we knew what we were up against when we were in the Egypt," right? And they had to renew their minds to who they were so that they can come into the promised land, another land of freedom that flowed with milk and honey. But just because they went into this other land doesn't mean it's going to be a piece of cake. There were giants in that land, remember? And they had to fight these giants, and they had this one problem. They had a real hard time believing that God was so good that he would fight the battle with them for them. They looked at their own selves as to whether or not they could be victorious against that enemy. And they had to get their minds renewed to that. Well, as our colonies started colonizing here in the United States and they started getting productivity and they started learning how to farm and the Indians helped them, you guys know the story, and helped them to live at least in this new land, which they were having difficulty doing, they started forming states and they formed 13 states. You guys have heard of that, right? Well, England was still taxing them. They still were under the taxation of the king. He wouldn't turn them loose. Even though he let them go away, he still had his claws in them and they had to pay taxes. You guys remember the story of the Boston Tea Party? Mm-hmm. That's when they finally had enough of it. But there was other taxes. There was sugar taxes and other taxes that they were paying. And they were very upset because though their allegiance was to do what was right, like ours is, to do what's right, they had no real representation. There was nothing. There was nobody backing them up. And they were giving all this money to this other entity that they were getting no benefits from. So they finally had a fight, and they threw the tea into the Boston Harbor, and that started it. It was off and running now. And they started a fight, and they fought many, many battles to get free of England. And finally, in 1776... they won the war, and they were freed from England, Great Britain, and we formed our own nation, these United States. Amen? And because they did that, and those 13 colonies got free and recognized their own independence, they formed the Bill of Rights and our United States Constitution that we still live by today. So those inalienable rights that God has given to us, they translated that into our American government that we supposedly have today. But there's been a problem. Just because they got us free doesn't mean we haven't been re-enslaved. Slowly but surely, the devil creeps in and starts taking away our rights a little bit here and a little bit there. And he kind of gives you this little bit of freedom. So you get entertainment, you get enough food to live on, enough ability to transport yourself here and there. And so you're going, okay, it's not so bad. I can still live. It's not so bad. I can still get along. I'm okay. But it'll come to a place to where you don't be okay anymore, where it is too expensive, where you don't have a voice any longer, and where you're stifled, and you cannot truly worship God the way he has freed you to worship him. And there could be another rebellion that rises up in this nation because of the oppression that's coming in real proportions to this nation. So I would like to empower all of you with what the Bible says, that we need to have an overcoming spirit, to have a mind that we are free. Because I want to tell you a truth, whether the government tells it to you, Facebook tells it to you, the media tells it to you, or not, this is the truth. You were created in the image and likeness of God, and you have inalienable rights before God, that your value is not created on your performance or your ability for goods and services. Your value comes by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the living God that dwells inside of you. And your worth is incalculable. Incalculable. I just want to let you know that. And your voice is the only voice that is important. And your voice with her voice, with her voice, with his voice, all of us together become one voice. Just like in heaven, when we are one voice. God made us one people, one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, and one Holy Spirit, and made us all one. Is that true or a lie? That's the truth, and that's who we are. And just like in England, the few are trying to oppress and rule over and terrorize the many. So what we have to do is the same thing they have to do. The first thing we have to do is establish a right relationship with God. It's the first thing we have to do, a right relationship with God. And then we have to believe what God says about us. That could be a chore for some of us. Some of us can hear what the Bible says and can hear what God says, but that doesn't mean it sinks down into the depths of who we say we are. That's a real fight. That's a real battle, and we each have to win. Are you with me? Let's go in our Bibles. So when Jesus came onto the scene, if we can go into Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. How many of you guys are thankful that we have the Bible? I am so thankful we have the Bible. You know why? Because sometimes I forget what it says. Sometimes I forget what God tells me. Sometimes I don't remember all the important things. But because it's written right here in this book, I can refer to it often. And I can read it often. And I can memorize it. And I can speak it until it gets down in my soul so deeply that I'm transformed by it. And you know what? That's all it takes is getting this. I'm telling you, it's, you know the word gospel, you know what it means? Too good to be true. Good news. It's good news. But can I give you some news that's so good it's almost impossible to believe it because it's so good? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It is so good, it's almost impossible to believe how good it is. Amen? Amen. All right, you with me? We got a solemn group. Did I make you all solemn? You just keep listening then, okay? All right. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 4. And it says, then Jesus was led, oh, this is after Jesus was water baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He saw it, John saw it, God spoke to him openly out of heaven, and now he's being led, driven, and pushed and herded by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. I want you to look at verse 1, and I want you to see why he's going into the wilderness. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Look at this. Why? To be tempted by the devil. Hallelujah! Wouldn't you like to follow in Jesus' footsteps? Wouldn't that be great? How many of you, listen, so we ask Jesus to come into our heart, we get born again, get water baptized, praise the Lord, we come up speaking in tongues, baptized in the Holy Spirit, or somebody prays for us and we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and now what? All right, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, praise God. So now it's my day to go be tested by the devil. He gets to jump on me personally to see what I'm made of. Isn't that exciting? Do you know a lot of Christians really avoid that? They want the goodness of God, the word of God, but they don't want to be tested by the devil. But if you're not tested, why did your teacher test you? To find out if you actually knew the material or not, right? Because it's information you need. They want it inside of you, so they test you to make sure it is inside of you. Are you with me? Amen. Never mind. I was going to have you raise your hand and say, devil, come test me, but I don't want you to stop coming to church. I want to keep you here and enjoy your barbecue. Amen. All right, verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. I bet. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. What is the test about? Is it about whether he has miraculous power or not? What is the test about? Whether or not he's the Son of God. That's the test. The devil is going to test him if he can find out if Jesus really believes the truth that he is God's Son. Isn't that interesting? Do you believe that you are God's son or daughter? If you actually own it, then the devil can come at you with all he's got. But if you really know who you are, then you're going to not have to freak out, lose your mind, go to tears and freak out and lay on the bed crying, God, help me, God, help me. No. What do? You do what Jesus did. Let's look. Verse 4, but he answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Was he hungry? He was starving, Marvin, 40 days, no food. I want to let you know, I fasted a long, long time, and you get hungry, you get hungry. You got to eat. There's nothing left. There's no more fat, no more reserves. You got to eat or you'll die. And he was hungry. This would have been a great time for him to wave his hand and do a miracle. But he didn't. Why? Because he knew not only who he was, he knew whose he was. And he knew that even if he expired, the Father's got it. The Father's got him. We have to be that thoroughly convinced ourselves. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, again, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. 7. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. They were waiting. Those angels were right there waiting. But Jesus had to pass the test. Jesus had to pass the test. He had to prove not only to himself, but to the devil that he is the Son of God. And he did that by speaking what the word said. He didn't hit the devil. He didn't yell at the devil. He didn't anything. Because what? He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. And he stood his ground, and as soon as he passed it, angels were right there, just like a boxer in his corner. They're right there with the water and the towels and everything to feed him and take care of him. Amen? And you say, well, Pastor Robert, that's Jesus. We don't have to do that. No, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Because he won that battle and died on the cross for you and me, we get the victory, don't we? Just like England, when Americans fought the English and we won the war, we got civil liberties for everybody, and we get to enjoy those liberties now, don't we? Amen. Do we? Do we? Look in your Bibles. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. You see, what they're doing in society today, I do not approve of in the educational system. And that is they're losing, because of the way they're being taught, their identity. Our children and grandchildren do not know who they are. And because they do not know who they are very, very confused, very distraught, and very depressed. And on a large portion of them, they're suicidal because they have no firm rooting, no firm foundation to stand on. They can't say definitively, here's the line, don't cross it. They don't have lines. It was made muddy on purpose for them. And when you do not have solid boundaries, when you do not have definite boundaries, you don't have a safe place. You have a fence around your swimming pool. Why? To keep people safe from falling in the pool, right? The children. You have a fence around your yard so you know when to stop mowing. What's yours? What's not yours? You have boundaries in your life so that you can have peace in your life. They don't have that. That's why we're fighting all of this crazy stuff. I don't even know what all those letters are, but I know just hearing them grieves me because that's hurting people that use those labels because they don't know who they are. But the thing is, if you don't study the Bible and the Word of God and believe God, then you'll have a hard time when the devil comes against you to stand your ground and say, no, that is not who I am. Because the emotions, the feelings, the habitual ways of being, your failures in the past, they all will overwhelm you and you will form and shape an identity of who you are that is less than the truth, just like our youth is fighting right now. In Colossians chapter 3, does she have it good? But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of peace. We'll read through all of them, Debbie. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, where? To the Lord. So what this is saying, and this is the sister scripture to Ephesians chapter 5 that says to not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So the Ephesians is saying that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Colossians is telling us that we need the Word of God dwelling in us richly. Because that's where our identity comes from. Do we have a Heavenly Father? Oh, yes. But that doesn't mean we know who we are in him. We have to learn who we are in him so that we can stand our ground against the devil. Amen? Listen, I'm going to rant, but that's okay. That's what I do. Bruce told you, that's how I am. It's how I roll. Like there's no lanes. Amen? We just go. I'm like a four-wheeler. I just run off into the brush and come back in again. Amen. So let me just remind you, Ephesians chapter 6, you know the stuff about the armor of God? You guys know you're supposed to put on the armor of God, right? Why? So you can stand against the devil. So the armor is not for you to cut off the devil's head. The armor is not for you to stab demons. Let me ask you, how many demons did Jesus destroy? None. None. Why didn't he kill the devil when he had a chance? Why didn't he kill the demons instead of just throwing them out and letting them go get somebody else down the road? Why didn't he kill them? Good question, Pastor Robert. We're all staring at you like we don't have a clue either. Amen. You're not going to like this. They prove to you who you say you are. They determine how much power of God you're going to exercise. They prove to you whether you believe God or not. They will kill, they will steal, and they will destroy whatever they can get their hands on. If you come out from the covering of God and start acting all carnal and fleshly, they bite. They grab onto you. They take you over. They don't have rules that they have to obey. Somebody has to make them stop or they won't. I just want to let you know that in case you think that just because you said, Jesus, come into my heart, now I'm all powerful and victorious. I'll tell you what, you've got to know who you are in Christ. But I'm going to give you some good news. Jesus paid it all. You guys have heard that. So when I say we're more than conquerors, I mean you don't have to fight the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, when it says, when you've done all to be ready to take out the devil. Stand, I heard somebody say. When you've done all to stand, now take out the devil. No, he says stand, therefore. So the way that you beat the devil is the same way Jesus beat him, by standing. That's why you have to put the armor on. You have to know in your brain, the helmet of salvation, that you are saved. No matter what thoughts come your way, no matter what feelings sweep over your body, because the devil can only attack your mind, your feelings, and your flesh. He can't touch your identity. You decide that. So then you have to put on the breastplate of righteousness, that we've been given the righteousness of God. It's not me that makes me great. Jesus made me great. Jesus became sin for me and you, right? And since he became sin for me and you, which is 2 Corinthians 5:21, then I have been made the righteousness of God. His own righteousness he made me and you. If you can't believe you're righteous because God made you righteous, then you have no right to believe he paid the price for your sins. He paid it all. He became sin so that you can be made the righteousness of God. That's a fact. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to stay clean to keep it. You don't have to do anything to maintain it. You only have to believe it. That's it. And he is going to do whatever he can to bombard your mind, to mess with your feelings, and to make you feel like you're not just like Jesus. And he will get you into agreement with him. I don't mean to point. He will get you in agreement with him to say bad things about yourself. Because then he wins. Yay, what a great hallelujah message for the 4th of July. Pastor Robert, would you get to the independence part, please? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Let's go and look at some things. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I want to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to go ahead and look at some things in Colossians. Are you with me? Okay, I've been taking too long, and I rabbit trailed two more, so I got to get my four-wheeler back on the track again, because I really want to get to Colossians. Look at this in chapter 6 with me. So now, just to give you a little overview, the writer of Romans, which was Paul, is talking about that we've been set free by Jesus Christ. That because Adam sinned, that sin was transferred onto all of us. Even if we didn't sin the same kind of sin that Adam did, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so Jesus, who was righteous, paid the price for the sin, thereby making all of us righteous also. So there's something, though. There's a residual identity that resides inside of a human being. They've been raised in brokenness their whole life until they became truly born again. Now, I want to qualify born again. This is Robert's standards, not anybody else's, okay? This is just how I look at it. You look at it the way God shows you to look at it, because you have to have confidence in what you believe. So this is what I believe. Just because you say, Jesus, come into my heart, does not mean God is your father. The only thing that makes a Christian that's different from the rest of the world, and this is a fact, is because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Now, because the God Spirit now dwells inside of you and you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you are a son or daughter of God. Now, God is your father, and you recognize God as your father. A lot of people I know who name the name of Jesus do not recognize God as their father. They've gone to church. They've learned how to say the right things, do the right things. But the light hasn't gone on yet that God is their father yet, that they're now spiritual and have everlasting life. Each one of us has to come to grips with that. Just personal testimony. I asked God to save me 14 times. That's 10 plus 4. Before I felt the power of God come over me that lifted the weight of sin off of my body and set me free. If that doesn't happen, it didn't happen. We have to experience the presence of God, the reality of God in us. Therefore, we all have to be fully persuaded in our own hearts and minds as to who we really are. And not only who we are, whose we are. Are you with me? Independence Day. Praise the Lord. Chapter 6. I'm going to jump down because of time, and I'm going to go all the way down to verse 5. Because it says here, since Jesus paid the price for our sins, and we live by the grace of God, can we go ahead and sin because Jesus paid the price for the sins? Can we just go ahead and sin? He says, certainly not. God forbid, don't. What are you thinking about? Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, whether you feel it or not. Emphasis added. That the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Look at 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all, that's for everybody. But the life that he lives, He lives to God. So that means it's going to go on. You and I now live our lives to God. Not for ourselves, but we live to God. We were slaves of sin, and now we're slaves of righteousness. We're slaves of God. I'm just going to jump down here for those of you in your Bible. Debbie, sorry. Verse 19, it says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your faith. For just as you presented your members of slaves of uncleanness and of the lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. This goes against your natural grain, your natural programming, your natural feelings of your body. We have to deliberately take authority over ourselves and live the truth that he done away with the body of sin. Go with me over to Colossians chapter 2. See, Independence Day, praise the Lord. I just got to stir you up and remind you of that stuff. We are totally free. And as we look in Colossians, I'm going to read something in Colossians chapter 2 that might be hard for some of you to accept. But I want you to just look at what it says and just take it in. Can you do that? Amen. Here we go. Colossians chapter 2. Here I am, not even there mute myself. I want to start in verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Oop, stop. Ladies, you might have a little trouble believing you were circumcised, but God circumcised you without hands. But he did. Now, if there's anyone who doesn't know what circumcision is, ask somebody, one of the adults in the room before you leave. Otherwise, you won't understand this. But it's a cutting away of the flesh. And you don't save that piece of flesh. You toss it aside. Okay? Circumcision is a cutting away of the flesh so that the seed is not tainted by flesh. That's why we have circumcision. So God's seed is pure and doesn't touch flesh. So, it says, in him you also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by what? Putting off the body of sins of the flesh. Just like I said in Romans, who puts off the body of sins of the flesh? We do. We decide we're not that person anymore. Of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you what? All trespasses. Say it again. All trespasses. How many is all? All. How many of you, if you do something wrong, does guilt or condemnation get on you? I was hoping to see no hands at all. I'm sorry that I saw a few. Wash my eyes, Lord. That means you're in the flesh. You're still living according to the flesh. Because it says in Romans chapter 8, there is no condemnation if you're not in the flesh. Right? In the spirit, only by the flesh. So we have to identify that our flesh was cut away. God actually cut it away. And we got our independence from the flesh. Jesus gave us independence from the flesh. He cut it away and threw it away. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, what? Having nailed it to the cross. So when his flesh was nailed to the cross, he took away every requirement that is against your natural flesh and blood person as far as God's concerned. Everything that was against you, saying you're not worthy, you're not holy, you're not righteous, you don't live well enough, you're not good enough looking, you're not rich enough, you're not able to do it, you're not smart enough, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too old, you're too young, you're too white, you're too black, you're too male, you're too female. Whatever it is, he wiped it all away, 100%. Anything that can be against you has no power in the sight of God. None. Little analogy for you. I've got 60 seconds. Listen, there was a first sin, and we all know who did it, right? Eve. There's somebody that's read his Bible, praise God. It was Adam. She was beguiled. He did it on purpose. Okay? Adam was the first sin. And there is going to be a last sin. I don't know who it's going to be. I pray it's not me. But there's going to be a last sin. When the trumpet blast blows and the dead in Christ are raised and we are filled with the glory of God and the morning star, day star rises in our hearts and we're transformed into the very, very same life of Jesus Christ and that twinkling of an eye, that the glory of God shines forth like the noonday out of us. And we are completely like Jesus. There's a certain number of sins. Jesus paid double for that. As far as heaven is concerned, the topic never comes up of sin. It never enters heaven. It's not there. They don't talk about it. It's not an issue. It's been paid for. So then who's it an issue to? The carnal mind, the fleshly person, and the devil that is causing you to put your identity on that. And the people who call themselves Christians that refuse to see other people as freed from their old sins. And they want to label them as saying, well, you should be this by now, or you should have been that, or I can't believe you still do that being a Christian. You're still identifying by the flesh. We have to see we've been circumcised. That flesh has been removed. As far as God's concerned, the sins have been paid for, and we have become independent from the flesh. Our Independence Day happened 2,000 years ago on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we either accept that's true or we don't. You have to be fully persuaded in your own heart and your own mind as to who you are. God, the gospel is too good to be true news. That's this. You can't wreck it. You can't taint it. You can't mess it up. You've been given God's righteousness. He's your father. He's never going to lose you. He's never going to drop you. He's never going to turn his back on you. He's never going to cast you aside. It's just a fact. You can either accept it or not. His blessings are on you. His favor is on you. His glory is with you. And everything that Jesus was given, you've been given also. If you can believe it. Because we have to walk out of that old identity and walk into the new identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Walk in your independence. Not independence from Christ. You're interdependent with Christ, but from the flesh. Are you with me? Amen. Let's shoot off some fireworks. Anybody got some sparklers? Amen. So as you are barbecuing up some hot dogs and hamburgers or ribs or whatever it is you like to eat, I just want you to say, to God, that is a sweet-smelling aroma in his nostrils. He loves the smell of sacrificial meat. So enjoy your barbecue today. I know I will. And let's love the Lord. And if the devil tries to harass you and tell you you are anything less than the position Jesus Christ gave you, far above every principality and power and every name that can be named, then you just remind him of what the Bible says. Amen? Then I have to get all flustered. Just remind him what the Bible says. Amen. I love you guys. Father, I just thank you for the congregation. Father, I ask you to bless each and every one of them, Father, to protect them, to be with them, that as they celebrate this day, our independence from England, that we can also celebrate our independence from the old man and the flesh and walk in the newness of life in your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you'd put it on people's hearts to share the good news for the joy that they have, Father, that we can be freed to set other people free, that you can be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.